John chapter 20. The message today is the man at God's right hand. I want to read you several scriptures because the title of the message is the second part of all that's included in the subject today. So first of all, look at John chapter 20, and I'll read you something that Christ said anticipating this. He said, "What then, if you should behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before?" And listen to what he says earlier. "No man hath ascended into heaven save he who came down out of heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven." And now, in John chapter 20, verse 16, Mary has been seeking the Lord, and now at the tomb, in John 20:16, Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." She turneth herself and saith unto him, in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Teacher." Jesus said unto her, "Touch me not, do not be clinging unto me, for I am not yet ascended unto the Father. But go unto my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." These words, listen carefully, "I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." I want you to see just what he means by that. Turn to chapter 16 of John. John 16. Our Savior has been talking about a little while, they shall not see him again. A little while, they shall see him. He says in verse 26, "In that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father." Listen to this. This is the descent and the ascension. Verse 28, "I came out from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go unto the Father." Once more, the descent and the ascent. "I came out from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go unto the Father." His disciples say, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly." All right, the next portion is in Isaiah 52. I want to read this. Isaiah 52, verse 13, because usually we start at verse 1 in chapter 53, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" But this is where it starts. Listen at verse 13 in Isaiah 52. "Behold, my servant shall deal wisely. He shall be exalted and lifted up and shall be very high. Like as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form than the sons of men, so shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they understand." Please notice, it says this, "He shall be exalted, lifted up, and very high." Perhaps I'll tell you in detail about those later. But now, turn to Luke 24. Mm-hmm. Verse 50. And he led them out until they were over against Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God. Now, Acts chapter 1, because where Luke 24 leaves off, Acts chapter 1 picks up. He's just told them that they were going to receive power after the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were to be his witnesses. Verse 9. And when he had said these things, as they were looking, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were looking steadfastly into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, who was received up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you beheld him going into heaven. Now, Philippians 2. I make no apologies for reading these scriptures, because these are God's explanations of the man at God's right hand. Philippians chapter 2. The Lord Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Verse 8, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, yea, the death of the cross. Now verse 9, wherefore also God highly exalted him, and gave unto him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now Romans 8, verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ Jesus that died, yea, rather, that was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And Hebrews 7, and we will let this suffice for now. Hebrews 7. Verse 25. Wherefore also he is able to save to the uttermost all that draw nigh unto God through him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, holy, harmless, undefiled, and separated from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And in 1 John 2 it says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Let us speak to the Lord again in prayer. Our Father, we read in the Scripture that glorious things are spoken of thee, O Lord. And thou dost know all these passages are glorious things, and they have been spoken of the man who is at your right hand. We are thankful that he is the theme of our song. He is the object of our adoration. He is the one, our Father, upon whom thou dost tell us to do this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We are thankful, our Father, that we can look away unto him, and we are thankful that we know where to look to find him this day. Our God, there are so many precious scriptures that have been read to us and others that are needful for the blessing of our souls. So by thy Spirit, our God, put them together and then display Christ in all his glory to the eyes of those who are here this day. We pray that you will give utterance to him who speaks and hearts that are attentive and receptive to the truths that shall be spoken. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. It was essential that I read to you at least the scriptures that I did for this reason. When Christ is presented to us in the Word, there are certain things that are inseparable. It says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then we read that Christ died, and I told you last week that Christ rose again. But that isn't enough. For Christ to be raised from the dead is not the end of the matter. It's just the beginning of the matter. Because after he was raised from the dead, he ascended into heaven. But that's not enough. It's not enough for him to be raised from the dead and remain on earth. But he was to ascend into heaven. And then it says this, he being by the right hand of God exalted. And I read to you also, this exaltation is his glorification. It says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given unto him the name that is above every name. And so with the ascension of Christ, we must include the glorification, the exaltation of Christ. And not only that, but we must also include the intercessory work of Christ. These three things are inseparable. God knows nothing about an ascended Christ, and that is all, but it tells us about his person in his ascended state. And in heaven, it tells us what his occupation is. If you ask the Savior, why did you come to earth? He said, I am the bread of God who came out of heaven to give life to the world. Paul says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He's in the world, and God tells us why he is in the world, what his mission was. And I've shown you week after week about Christ's vicarious death. The wicked husbandmen put him to death. They cast him out of the vineyard. And the Lord Jesus himself said this, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Well, even though none of the disciples expected his resurrection, yet, in abundant proof, he manifested his resurrection. He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. And that is a contradiction. How many infallible proofs do you need? How many infallible proofs do you need? If it's infallible, you only need one. He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. I told you of 11 appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God takes us that far. And the gospel only takes us that far, that he's alive. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried the third day according to the scripture, buried, and the third day raised according to the scripture and was seen. What's missing? You say he died, he was buried, he was raised, he was seen. Is anything spoken there about his ascension? You say no. But the ascension is part of the gospel story. Because when we preach the gospel, I told you, at times we preach it in its essence, but we do not preach it in its completeness. The gospel of the glory not only has Christ risen from the dead, But it has him ascended into heaven, it has him glorified, and it has him ever living to make intercession for the saints. And you cannot separate these three. To do them justice, you would have to take one for a message, another for a message, and another. But I'm telling you all three of them because they are inseparably put together in the Word of God. Not all put together in one verse, but in verses throughout the Gospels and to the book of Revelation. We have Christ in his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his glorification, and his intercession. All of these things are absolutely essential. Leave one of them out, and God's so great salvation is incomplete. And so what God does is to give them all to us, and we can marvel and meditate upon each one for days on end. But when you do, you see that one merges into the other and you cannot stop, and then the other one merges into another and you cannot stop. In fact, they go on so far that I have to hold back one to tell you about tonight. But at least I can mention the three this morning. And this is the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. You would wonder if the ascension were absolutely necessary for this reason. When Christ, who was in heaven, notice, he said, I came out from the Father and am come into the world. Tell me this. When Christ was raised from the dead, do you think they were concerned about his ascension? Or would they have been perfectly satisfied had he established his earthly kingdom and sat upon the throne of his glory and reigned over the world? How many of them would have rejected that? Not one of them. That's just what they expected. This is the last question that they asked our Savior in Acts chapter 1. They said, Lord, dost thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which God has kept in his own power. He said, but your business is to go and preach the word, make known the gospel of the grace of God. And that's how it was left. It's not for you to know. But the message that he sent by the women to his disciples was that he was raised from the dead. I told you that several women saw the Lord Jesus and fell at his feet and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. And Mary Magdalene also wanted to grasp the Lord and hold him and not let him get away, to keep him there. But he said, touch me not. Do not be clinging to me. I have not yet ascended to my Father. The Lord Jesus knew that there was another step in the task that God had sent him to do, and that was to ascend. Just as he said in John chapter 2, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. They did not understand. He said this, and it was enigmatical. They could not comprehend it. He said, what if you shall see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? They had no idea what he was talking about. He had spoken of an ascension earlier. He said in John chapter 1, you shall see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. He asked this question. He says, no man hath ascended into heaven, but he who descended out of heaven. And then to make it incomprehensible, he says, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. And so our Lord Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. But he speaks again and again of his ascension, his going back to heaven. And it was essential for him to go. The disciples, when they heard that he was leaving, sorrow filled their heart. He said, I understand this. He said, but it is expedient to you that I go unto the Father. Please note that he has things to do in heaven with the Father. His work on earth after 40 days is done. And someone tell me one time from once Christ ascended into heaven, ever appeared physically on earth again. One time. Never. Because it says in Acts chapter 3, the heavens must receive Christ until the restitution of all things be accomplished. This is what is so difficult to understand. They've been living with Christ for 3 years, listening to his teachings. He dies, he's raised, and then they begin to see him again. They see him for 40 days. It says, for 40 days he was among them, speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God. But he did not tell them when that kingdom was going to appear. He spoke to them for 40 days. And then there were other things that he had to do. After those 40 days, he was going back to heaven. And this is what is so upsetting, is that they, when their faith had been shattered, it was raised again and strengthened, and then he goes to heaven, and they never see him on earth again. Why not, just as we, the first day of the week, come together and remember the Lord, why not have the Lord to come down once a week, or at least annually on the Day of Atonement? Why not that? The Lord Jesus says, this is God's will. Thomas, you believe because you've seen. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. The Lord Jesus says, now that the Word has been made flesh and dwelt among you and you've seen him, you've heard him, now I'm going back to heaven and you're not going to see me anymore until I descend from heaven with a shout. And I may have gone too far when I told you that Christ was seen in Acts chapter 10. I took it for granted that he was. I'm not sure, though. It says that Peter had to be taught that Jew and Gentile, no distinction anymore. And it says that a great sheet was let down from heaven, and a voice from heaven said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And then Peter had a conversation with the Lord. Now, I said that he saw him. It does not say that he did. At least he heard him, and he knew exactly to whom he was speaking. Perhaps he did see the Lord as that sheet was let down. But here is Peter on earth, and he looks in heaven, and he sees the Savior. But our Savior is going to remain in heaven until that day when he descends from heaven with a shout. So the ascension is to get him back to where he was before. The ascension of Christ, put in plain words, because they said, now you speak plainly. He said, I came out from the Father and am come into the world. Now this is the ascension. Again, I leave the world and go unto the Father. The ascension is leaving the earth and all that pertains to it. He's going to be here in spirit, yes, but bodily, he has gone back into heaven. And this is what God wants us to understand. If I ask you this, what unsaved men after Christ was raised from the dead ever saw him? And I told you too. It says in John chapter 7 that James, one of his brethren, saw the Lord and he was converted. And Saul of Tarsus, an unconverted man, saw the Lord and he was converted. But other than those two, I do not know of anybody who ever saw the Lord Jesus after he was raised from the dead, who was unsaved. So he gave them abundant proof, many infallible proofs that he was alive. And then he told them, I'm leaving you. I'm going back to my Father who sent me. Now, just as they saw him alive, he told them he was going back to heaven. And Luke tells us about it. And Acts tells us about it. But Mark's gospel just tells us he's there. It simply says that after he spoke these things, he sat down at the right hand of God. But he doesn't tell us how he got there. But Luke does, and that is what is so beautiful. He takes them out a little distance from Jerusalem to Bethany, and while he's talking to them, he lifts up his hands and he blesses them. And it says that a cloud received him out of their sight, That's as far as any human eye ever saw the Lord Jesus ascending to heaven. But what happens is this. I know that he arrived there because it says that if I go to the Father, I will send the Holy Spirit unto you. And now that Christ is absent from earth, but present in heaven, I know he's there because on the day of Pentecost, he sent them the promise of the Father. And that is one of the reasons why he had to ascend to heaven. How do I know he's there? Because the Holy Spirit is on earth. The Holy Spirit had been with them, and he shall be in you. And that is what happened on the day of Pentecost. And now the Lord Jesus has ascended into heaven. But what is remarkable is this. Some whom Christ raised from the dead, people saw the completed act. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And they saw that dead man come out of the tomb. The widow of Nain's son, he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And they saw that young man arise. But we do not read that anybody on earth saw the Lord Jesus Christ complete that ascension into heaven. But we know he's there. And this is why I read the references and I started laughing to myself. I was going to give the title to the message, The Ascension, but I found no less than 21 references to Christ being spoken of in relation to the right hand of God. 21 references. That's why I said the message has to be Jesus, the man at God's right hand. It starts in Psalm 110, prophetically. The Father says, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. Now, we would know nothing about this. We would not know that Christ first had to come down. The Word was made flesh. We would not know that Christ had to live and die and be raised from the dead and then ascend into heaven. But now we do. But Psalm 110, you'll find it referred to and Christ in relation to the Father's right hand. You'll find it over 20 times spoken. The Lord Jesus said, you shall see the Son at the right hand of power. When people were questioning Christ's authority to cleanse the temple, he said, let me ask you a question. Whose son is the Messiah? They said, why, he's the son of David. He said, how then doth David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. David calls him Lord. How is then he his son? And they were unable to answer that question. And so here is Christ, two times, and then three times in the Synoptic Gospels. And then John says in his Gospel, chapter 20, I ascend unto my Father and your Father. I ascend unto my God and your God. And now we know that once he ascended, we see the second step, and that is the exaltation, the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when he was on earth, there was no glorification in the fullness of the sense for this reason. Do you think that when Christ was walking with those two on the road to Emmaus, if he were glorified as he is in heaven, that they would have been able to talk to him and have a conversation and ask him, are you the only man around that doesn't know what's happened in Jerusalem? Of course not. But what happens is this. What glory he had was concealed. And until he went back to heaven, there was not that full glorification. I want you to understand that Christ had a longing to be with his disciples, and that's why he said, a little while you'll see me again. And that's why he's going to come and receive us to himself, because he loves us. But listen to what he said, two requests that Christ made in John 17. He said, Father, I glorified thee on the earth, having finished the work that thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. when Christ left heaven, he made himself of no reputation. He was on earth. He humbled himself. And now he says, Father, that glory that I left in heaven, I want it back again. I want you to glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Christ wants that glory again. And listen to this. He says something else. His disciples on earth, only three of them saw his glory for 1 hour on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. He said, they followed me in faith when I had not where to lay my head, when I had nothing to eat and I had to look on a fig tree for breakfast. They followed me under all of these conditions, Father, and they accepted by faith that I was the promised Messiah. He said, now, I want that rewarded. I do not want them to accept by faith who I am, but I want them to be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And the Father is going to fulfill that wish. But please notice that Christ said, I want that glory back. And he said, and once I get it back, I want those disciples whom you've given me, I want them to behold my glory. The glorification of Christ, the exaltation of Christ, what does it include? In the book of Hebrews, the subject is so full, it says this, that Christ passed through the heavens. It said Christ has been made higher than the heavens. It says concerning Christ, sit thou at my right hand, and I will make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. Listen. If you look at him, and he is in heaven, the Father says, sit at my right hand. What is the highest place in heaven? You say, by the throne of God. And what is the highest place of honor in heaven? You say, the right hand of God. And that is where Christ is. That is part of the glory that he's given him. It says this concerning angels, let all the angels of God worship him. And I showed you from Isaiah 52 that Christ eventually was going to be lifted up, exalted, made very high. That was prophesied. And that is what has happened. But if you read Isaiah 6, you will discover that the glory that he's asking the Father to bestow upon him, now that he's finished the work on earth, he says that the angels in heaven, these seraphim in heaven are saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And John in chapter 12 says, he, Isaiah, was speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the one that we see in Isaiah 6 is the Lord Jesus Christ before he was made flesh and came to earth. And he says, now that's the glory that I want again. And that is what the Father has done. And so if we go to heaven now, Christ is easily locatable. Why? Because he's seated at the Father's right hand. Yes, he does move around. He stands. But his rightful position is at God's right hand. Why? Because that's the highest place in heaven. The highest place is the highest heaven. And the highest place in that heaven is the right hand of God on the throne. And that is where Christ is. Now, let me ask you this. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. But it says in Philippians 2 that having reached the nadir, the lowest possible point, he made himself of no reputation. He was made sin for us. He died the death of the cross. It says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Jehovah. That's the word, Lord, Jehovah, to the glory of God the Father. Tell me any more glory that the Father can give his Son. He's given him the name that's above every name. He has given him the place at his right hand. He is equal with the Father. And at the same time, he has given him that glory that he had with him before the world was. And he's promised him this. He said, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. And so this is what Christ says he wants when he goes back to heaven. He says, yes, I'm going back to heaven. He said, but I want you to understand that when I go there, I'm going to be glorified. And you've heard me pray that I'm going to take you there and let you behold my glory in heaven. And this one who was despised, rejected of men, we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. All of that you've seen. He said, but when you get to heaven, you'll understand that I am the one who, after it all, I was exalted, I was lifted up, I was made very high. And what is so lovely about these threefold words? They are synonymous, and you cannot say that one is more than the other. But there are three ways that God is telling us that Christ is exalted. He's exalted. He's exalted. And having been threefold exalted, it says he is made very exalted. And so there's nothing more that God can do. And were we in heaven, we would see him in his glory. And I'm so glad that two have seen him in his glory for sure. Before Saul of Tarsus ever saw the Lord Jesus, it says that Stephen, when he was stoned, he said, the heavens were open, and he saw the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And just before he died, he said, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And so Stephen has seen the Lord Jesus in his glory, in his rightful place. And this is what God wants us to understand concerning his Son, that he died, and men put a guard at the tomb that he might not rise. And the angel comes and rolls aside that stone, and Christ comes forth. That's not enough. That he overcame death, but he says, I'm going back to where I was before. And he is at home in heaven. On earth, he was a stranger. In heaven, he spent eternity with the Father, and he's back there now, and he's in his glorified state. Nothing is out of order now other than this, that he's the glorified man. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, and now he's the glorified man, and he is the man at God's right hand. And this is the message that God has given us, and this is our Savior. And kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, let us know that we cannot comprehend the words of your Son. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me, of him shall I be ashamed before my Father in the presence of the angels. Who could ever be ashamed of this one? But our God, all of these things came after his obedience unto death on earth. And so now we thank you that we know about Christ. Our God, some of them saw that cloud received him, to receive him out of their sight, but then they did not know any more, but some saw him at your right hand. And that prophecy has been fulfilled, and we rejoice this morning that whereas he is bodily in heaven, yet he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Indeed, Father, he is God manifest in the flesh, and he's promised, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. We are thankful for this glorified Savior who is ours, and we worship him and acknowledge him that he's King of kings and Lord of lords, and we wait for his return from heaven. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. The meeting is over.